will come to you live from the KGYM Tailgate Tour with the Iowa National Guard. The gym class will be live at Kennedy before their matchup with Dubuque Hempstead. Here on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. We'll talk with coaches and athletes as we count down to kickoff and get you ready for high school football action. The KGYM Tailgate Tour with the Iowa National Guard. Tomorrow afternoon at 3 on the gym.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, why have you been shredding for hours?
The boss said we should cut costs, Mr. Employee of the Month.
How does this cut costs?
These are the expense reports for the whole year.
You shredded them all?
Thanks to me, our expenses this year are zero.
If you don't mind hiring Daves, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
First time skydiving?
Sure is.
Okay, you just open the door like this, and you jump.
Oh, wait. Should we be, in tandem?
Tandem? That's a great idea.
Are you a certified instructor?
No, but I love parachutes, and I love people. Here we go.
You wouldn't take chances with an uncertified skydiving instructor. Don't do it with your finances. Find a certified financial planner professional today at letsmakeaplan.org. CFP. Work with the highest standard.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Penalty Palooza with Hamlin and Junior getting popped. I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
Your new landscaping looks amazing. Who did you use?
I found a great local pro on HomeAdvisor.
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. It's really easy to use. I just put in what I need and then they connect me with background check pros who can help.
Did you find your painter there too?
Yep, I use HomeAdvisor for everything.
How much does it cost?
It's free. And check it out, I can even book an appointment online.
That's so easy. How did I not know about HomeAdvisor?
Go to HomeAdvisor.com now or download the free app. HomeAdvisor!
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need. Get in the zone.
Both of Denny Hamlin's wins from Darlington last weekend were encumbered by NASCAR today, meaning they can't be used toward the postseason. On the Cup side, Hamlin's rear suspension didn't pass post-race inspection, and crew chief Mike Wheeler has been suspended for two races and fined while the team was docked 25 points. On the Xfinity side, a similar violation got crew chief Eric Phillips also suspended for two races, fined, and that team lost 25 points. Meanwhile, Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s car had two loose lug nuts after Darlington, meaning his crew chief, Greg Ives, will be suspended for this weekend's race at Richmond. Car chief Travis Mack will fill in. Joey Logano also had rear suspension issues after finishing second in the Xfinity race at Darlington. Crew chief Greg Irwin has been suspended for two races and fined. Details are at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Yeah, every time I hear Darlington referenced, all I can think of is Darlington County, which is one of my favorite Bruce Springsteen songs. Me and Wayne on the 4th of July. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Hour number 3 about to kick off. We've got the 6 o'clock showdown on the way for you tonight coming up at the bottom of the hour. Your chance to get the lead out next week at the Paramount Theater, America's version of Led Zeppelin, 3 guitars on stage at once. Promises to be a fantastic show. They were here last year and put on a great one. Tickets on sale right now at the Paramount Theater box office, or you can win them tonight by answering 7 questions in 60 seconds. Stop by KGYMradio.com. Vote in our poll question today. Do Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa Hawkeyes put enough emphasis on the Iowa-Iowa State game for your liking? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. I cannot tell you Alex, how excited I am about this. I'm wondering if he was thinking that I was ducking him or that I didn't want anything to do with him.
I made it clear last week that you were not doing that.
Okay, it just the way that my time off schedule has worked out, this is the first time in 3 weeks that I'm actually talking with Tristan Cockcroft, ESPN.com's fantasy football expert, here to answer your fantasy football questions. PPR league, standard league, you name it, two quarterback leagues, get them to us now. 319-366-1600. Tristan, I swear it's nothing personal, man. I just needed some time off. What's up?
I hear you, Todd. How are you doing? It's good to talk to you again.
I'm doing great. I'm going to start with a personal question here right out of the gate, though, because I just found out I knew I had the draft tonight, but it's a 12-team standard league. A, I hate 12-team leagues, and I hate standard leagues. I have the 12th pick in the draft tonight. What would you recommend that I do with the 12th and 13th picks in a standard draft?
I'd actually think about taking, as crazy as this is, two wide receivers, because people are going to draft running backs early and often, and they're probably going to lead to quality guys like Mike Evans and Michael Thomas, possibly. I mean, I'll tell you this, if any of the running backs slip, if you get a Melvin Gordon somehow, or Jordan Howard most likely, Jay might fall down there, maybe you get one of those, I'd kind of pair up the two, but I don't think you're getting two good running backs there. Why did it hit for the 12-team league? I'm curious there.
It just too deep, a little deep, and I've never had success in a 12-team league. It's probably my personal bias because I suck at fantasy football. But I'm glad you brought up Mike Evans, because I'm sure we're going to get a question about this. Should people, if they have not drafted yet, should they take into account the fact that the Dolphins and Buccaneers game has moved on week one, or you draft talent, not who's playing on week one?
I actually wouldn't put a lot of stock in it. I think that people are kind of overreacting, and that's common for when news is fairly fresh. But the fact is, these players were going to miss a game for their bye week anyway, and it was going to come originally in week 11. All this does is move it up into week one, which makes them kind of advantageous here. It makes them the only two teams on bye, so it's much easier to get through this week without those key players. And it's a lot easier to get pickups to sub in, because at this point, people are still throwing darts anyway. There's plenty that's out there. We did do drafts where we probably feel as good about our rosters today as we're ever going through the entire season. So it's not difficult for us to find a guy that we can plug in for these players. To me, I actually think it creates a value point that if Evans does fall to you, by all means, snatch him up. You might find a good guy to sub in there for week one. You might end up with Chargers players. You might end up with Keenan Allen or Philip Rivers in the draft, and see them playing Denver and one of them's fans. It's the same thing. I don't move them down at all. I think it's a buying opportunity.
Tristan, do you think that we're ever going to kind of see a clear picture of who will be the go-to guy in the Seattle backfield, or is this going to be a patchwork situation all year?
I actually do think we're going to see clarity when health affords it. And to explain that, the problem with the Seahawks is they have three running backs, and one of them, granted, is probably not going to be the starter this season. He's in that CJ Pro site, the passing down back. That's going to be his role. He's just going to be catching passes and the occasional carry. But it's Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls who have major injury questions. There's the conditioning thing with Lacy, and there's the injury history of Rawls, who's missed a lot of time. And running behind that offensive line, it's going to be extremely difficult for them to keep either of these guys healthy for 16 games. But when either or is, I think they're going to be the guy. So right now it's looking like it's Eddie Lacy back here. I'll tell you personally, I'm letting Lacy go. I'm taking Rawls. I think he's the better value. And the other thing, too, is I'll tell you, I would not be surprised to see Chris Carson get two starts or more this year. I really have that many concerns about the durability of these players. If it's bad offensive line, not a lot of protection.
Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com joining us to answer your fantasy football questions. Get them to us now, courtesy of Imon Communications, 319-366-1600. 2619 on the text line wants to know what Zeke Elliott's value is right now currently with the status of his suspension.
So his also changed a little bit. And I mean, for me, from a ranking basis, it doesn't move all that much. I mean, the kind of the advantage here is you have him in week one when you didn't expect it otherwise. So this is going to shift plans. It's kind of like the same thing with the Tampa and Miami game, is that you have to make a shift to your plan for the week one lineup that you weren't prepared for. Well, in this case, you get the benefit of Elliott's huge game in week one, and then probably sits out six games after that, which is going to go across his bye week. So it's really 7 weeks absent after that. Weeks two to, I think it'll be eight, then, if I'm doing my math correctly. But from a draft perspective, I don't change it at all. This is something we already accounted for. We assumed he was going to miss six games, and frankly, seeing this happen suggests to me that if he does try to contest this in the courts, there is still a chance he'd either delay it further, he could delay it beyond the extent of the fantasy season, he could delay it into next season, and there's always the possibility he still gets it shortened. So I still feel like he's a borderline second-round pick. I think he's a guy you draft with confidence in the third round. I really do think he has that kind of value.
1266 on the text line wants to know why DeAnthony Thomas's average draft position is so high. People buying lottery ticket there?
That's a really good question. I actually hadn't noticed that his was unusually high. I mean, the only thing I can possibly speculate on is just the questions in the backfield there, whether he might get greater opportunity. But I'll tell you, I think that, you know, most likely KC's going to pick up somebody off waivers or make some sort of move in the season. I'm not really a big Thomas guy. I don't think the touches are going to be there.
2975 wants to know if Joe Mixon is a decent RB2 in a PPR league.
As an RB2, that's kind of overestimating his value, I'd say. I think that, and especially in a PPR league, I think his value is going to lean a little bit more towards the standard leagues, the ones that don't reward for receptions. But he's going to be involved, I think, by midseason to the point where he's the lead running back for Cincinnati. So I like the guy. The problem is that treating him as an RB2 now is doing exactly what I'm advising people not to do, and that is not to overdraft him, to let him sneak by if he's being locked into that position, and then call off that owner of his who's frustrated in September with him not getting enough carry and buy low. I'm afraid that here, in this case, I would warn this owner, be patient. Do not let him go if it doesn't look like he's a starter. It's going to happen in time.
9761 with a question about a guy we saw drafted in the second to last round or last round last night. I can't remember, but he wants to know, lots of potential, but experts don't seem to expect much. Is O.J. Howard worth a roster spot?
I think if it's a dynasty league, then yes. I think if it's anything else, then no. The problem with Howard is that Cameron Braid had an exceptionally impressive year. I mean, he surprised everybody, and I feel like Tampa's got a lot of trust in him for that very reason. And not only that, he actually gives them another option that they can, you know, like who can catch passes there, tight end, who deepens that passing attack for Jameis Winston. I'm very much on board with Tampa's offense, but not Howard. What I think is going to happen is they're going to let him work himself in easily, more slowly than Hunter Henry did, and they're going to do it a lot as a blocker. That's not going to lead to good fantasy points this year. Frankly, I'd let him go in redraft leagues.
Sticking with the rookie tight end theme, what about Evan Ingram? Is he worth a roster spot early on?
I think he's a little more appealing than O.J. Howard, and I think people are kind of misreading this on Howard. I think that Ingram is more appealing because the Giants aren't going to treat him the way that the Bucs are. The Bucs are going to look like Howard is a tight end for them and who, you know, contributes as a blocker. The Giants don't look at Ingram at all like that. I think they're going to look at him as rolling him out as a wide receiver, lining him up that way, maybe give him some snaps out of the slot. They put him out there in three receiver sets. I think there are going to be opportunities for him. As far as waiting on a second tight end, that's what I would. I think he can make a case for a top 20 finish at that position.
All right. Tone on the text line has a 10-team league with Jay Ajayi out. He needs help at his RB2 spot. He's got McFadden, Mixon, or could you recommend somebody who is a likely free agent like a Sproles-type character?
So Mixon, I'm okay with for this week. I don't think that's a bad play here. I think he's a borderline flex option for the first week. And, you know, it's not the best matchup, Baltimore. That's a little tricky for him. He's not going to get the carries. But he's probably going to beat most of what else is out there on the waiver wire. If I was to look at what might be out there, Sproles, all right. I'd say Sproles is probably going to be one of your better choices. You could dive into the dark board that is the Patriots backfield. James White, especially if it's PPR league, I actually would consider him somebody. Rex Burkhead snuck through a lot of drafts. If he somehow got out there, that could be an option. The other one that I'm, and this is going against the grain with the matchup because the Chargers are a tough defense, I'm intrigued to see what Jamal Charles' role is going to be with the Broncos, and if there's any time to use him, it's early in the year. That could be one who snuck through your draft as well.
All right, 2183 wants to know a question that, or wants to know the answer to a question I think a lot of people have right now, and that's with all of the talk around Christian McCaffrey, how high should he realistically be drafted before you could say people are reaching for him?
I'd say if it's PPR, anything that's higher than the 15th running back off the board is going to be a bit too much, but I can make the case there a little bit better than the others. If it's half PPR, knocking down about two notches, he should probably be going about 17th of the position. If it's a standard league, if it's a non-PPR, this is the big concern. He's being drafted like a top 15 running back, and I think it's going to be difficult for him to get there. He's got the upside to do it, but chasing upside with rookies can be a dangerous thing. We just don't know how quickly they'll adapt. Panthers are going to use him a lot. They'll probably use him at the goal line. They'll give him cast out of backfield. That's great. But I think he's probably 19th, 20th of the position in that format.
Fantasy football questions still coming in on the text line for Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com, 319-366-1600. Anthony and Marion, 12-person PPR, looking for a flex play between Danny Amendola or Kelvin Benjamin.
I love Benjamin this week. Actually, Benjamin is an automatic start for me, regardless of what the league format is. He's one of the reasons that I would say start Cam Newton as well as confidence. Benjamin's going to line up, I believe it's Rashard Robinson is the one he'll most likely line up with the most often. And last year, that was the result of his best game of the season. He's a massive mismatch in that specific one-on-one matchup. And I think Benjamin, based on the preseason, there were a lot of positive things said about him in August. I think that it's time to get on board with that.
3558 on the text line, a 16-team league, Corey Coleman or Corey Davis?
Now, I'm not with the crowd on this one. I kind of like Corey Coleman this year. I like the move of Sean Kizer. I think that that's something that could play very well for Corey Coleman. This is a young offense that's growing going forward. And I like the connection, those little hints I saw during the preseason. I understand the feeling is way up there for Corey Davis, but he had injuries. And I saw this happen before. Josh Doctson is a great example from last year. The sky's the limit for the guy, and then he had injuries. Davis missed a lot of the preseason. Love him in dynasty leagues. Don't like him as much as Coleman in redraft.
4387 on the text line. A 12-team standard league. He needs two from the following. LeGarrette Blount, Tevin Coleman, Tyrell Williams, or Thomas Rawls?
So we'll scratch Rawls from this one. I would say Tyrell Williams is definite here. Now, it's a tricky matchup, but I think in his case, they're going to need to use him because Keenan Allen's going to be detracting a lot of attention. Blount was the other. Who's the fourth?
I lost it here. It was Blount. Shoot. The texts,
okay.
The texts are coming in.
Solid. I wanted to make sure the other was not a better one. Blount's got a pretty decent matchup and should get the goal line carries.
Are you with the crowd urging fantasy owners to sit Alshon Jeffrey heading into his matchup against Josh Norman in week one?
I'm not, just because remember that, yeah, the matchup is a tricky one, but he's still going to get the volume. He's going to get targeted probably, you know, 7 to 9 times, and if he catches even 5 of them, that's going to be a decent enough score. It's not going to be top 10. It's also probably not going to be 50th at the position. So I take into account with the rankings, and that's why he's a little closer to 20 than where it was his draft spot this season. But the Eagles got him for a reason. They're going to throw the ball to him even if they have to force him.
The text line asking a question, obviously not going to help this week, but planning for the future, 9136 is in a 12-team PPR league. He wants to know, who you think Jay Cutler is going to have better chemistry with, Jarvis Landry or Devontae Parker?
So I think everybody's on board with Parker being the one that's where the chemistry is going to go, because there was the comments he made after the preseason. He made a great preseason game together, and then he made the comparison to Alshon Jeffrey, who, if you remember 2 years ago, they both had that great year working with one another. He said Parker reminded him a lot of Jeffrey, and I'm on board with that. I felt like the arrow was trending upwards for Parker this season anyway, so that's the direction in which I go. But the danger here is that I feel like in the past 2 weeks, everybody's gotten on board with that. They're closer than you think. For me, it's Parker by a hair. It's pretty close.
Ben in Cedar Rapids wants you to tell him which side got the better end of this trade. We'll say it's a PPR league. Travis Kelce and Martavis Bryant for Amari Cooper, Randall Cobb, and O.J. Howard.
So I did the former side on that one. It's two known commodities in your lineup, and we talked about Howard just a minute ago. I got questions there. I think the depth on the other side, what my big worry is, remember, when you get to the bye weeks in the middle of the season, you've got to find spaces on your roster in order to make pickups. Howard, I'm concerned, is going to be in danger of being cut, and that to me is a loss.
All right, Tristan, I was using a lot of your information for a draft earlier this week, and I bought in on one of your guys, your breakout picks, and then after I made the selection, I said, wait a minute, Tristan is a Giants fan, if I remember right. Is he just being a homer when he says Paul Perkins is a guy to keep an eye on this year? I want you to explain the love for Paul Perkins.
I will admit, yes, there's probably...
Oh, no! I knew it!
Yeah, so here's the worst part about that one. We put that together way in the beginning of the preseason where I was really, really on board with this. I mean, he was the last man standing, and the Giants were talking about him like they finally found their workhorse running back. And what happened? I watched way too much preseason Giants this year, and I wasn't being impressed by what I saw. And what bothers me about that is that I thought at the beginning of the offseason he would be RB2 material. I thought we were looking at that kind of ceiling, and then I had to temper it back to flex. The reason he's a breakout candidate for me is that he's still the starter on a team that should use him more than people are giving him credit. The problem is the ceiling's lower, and I think breakout is he gets into the top 18 running backs, not the top 12. So, yeah, I like it. I just don't love it like I did in May.
All right, Tristan, any last-minute advice for anybody that is drafting? Any news within the last, say, day or so that has a guy or two popping up on your radar here at the last possible second?
So, one I'll remind is that Robert Kelly did not get enough love during the preseason, where it's very likely to be him starting the season here as the Redskins running back, and I think that's going to be a pretty good value point. People are just not trusting him in any way. I do think it's a little bit wiser today than it was a week ago to take Samaje Perine as his handcuff. I think that's going to be a very big thing here. Dalvin Cook, very much on board with him. In fact, where everybody was gravitating towards Kareem Hunt based on the late preseason news with Spencer Ware being lost for the year, people were kind of shifting things over to Hunt. I actually think that Dalvin Cook is the guy who put himself in a prime position this preseason to have a breakthrough year, and he's not getting the same level of treatment that guys like Leonard Fournette or Christian McCaffrey are. I personally prefer Cook to McCaffrey in the vast majority of drafts. Definitely do not forget about him. And the other thing, get Jamal Williams. I think Jamal Williams is one of the more important backups out there for you. I think Ty Montgomery can't really hold up to a starter's workload. He's not the kind of guy you can get 200 carries. Jamal Williams is going to have a role if Montgomery stays healthy for 16 games, and if he doesn't, Williams could definitely handle a larger workload.
1266, before we let you go, getting in just under the wire, Zay Jones or Chris Hogan?
So this week I go Chris Hogan partly because I don't trust the Bills at all. I know the matchup against the Jets looks fantastic on paper, but there is absolutely no chemistry apparent so far in that offense. And my big concern is Tyrod Taylor missed a lot of the late preseason time with the concussion. That's not a good thing. It's kind of a warning sign in my book.
All right, Tristan. We know the usual suspects of what you've got at ESPN.com, fantasy football coverage. Anything new that you'll be posting here shortly?
So the matchups map is going to come tomorrow. That's where we're going to talk about the Kelvin Benjamin matchup I just talked about a couple minutes ago. But it has plenty of other picks for you for week one. The other thing, too, is if you need pickups for this week, that's going to be a great place in which to go. And we have rankings that are for PPR leagues and for non-PPR leagues. So we just posted that out there now. It's a brand-new feature. Well, we do cover you for both leagues each and every week, so take a look.
All right. We appreciate it, as always, Tristan. We'll touch base next Wednesday. Good luck in week one.
Yes, good luck to you, too. Thanks.
Yeah, one of us needs it more than the other. One of us is in a Fantasy Football Hall of Fame. The other one is now suddenly regretting the Paul Perkins selection, although it was very late in the draft. I saw Tristan likes him. Oh, I'll take a flyer on him. What are you going to do? Did we draft Paul Perkins last night?
We did not.
We did not. Okay.
We did draft Jonathan Stewart and Mike Gillisley.
Oh, yeah, we could have asked him about
and Matt Forte.
A couple of those guys. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep it here, and we're going to send it now, bring him into the studio on the heels of Tristan Cockcroft, the one and only Mel Kuhn Jr., here with the highlights of last night's Imon Communications Listener Fantasy Football Draft, which we held at the very beautiful Brick Alley Bar and Sports Pub in Marion. And a big thank you to Les and his staff, who could not have been more gracious and welcoming to guys showing up to do a fantasy football draft. As a matter of fact, they welcome things like fantasy football drafts and game watches and are more than willing to book your party. Just give them a call and they can have all the details for you. So do we have any dramatic music? Is there anything that is possibly Mel Kuhn Jr. worthy? Or are we... You know what? I think Mel Kuhn Jr. carries the segment by himself without any wacky radio noises. So go ahead, Mel Kuhn Jr. here with the highlights of last night's Listener Fantasy Football Draft, which we held at Brick Alley in Marion. Who'd you like, Mel?
I'll tell you what, I like the way that Ryan H. started out going Le'Veon Bell, but Ryan J. back-to-back takes David Johnson and Leonard Fournette, solidifying his backfield. But the real trendsetter last night, the defending champion with an asterisk, Jason in North Liberty. He takes Aaron Rodgers in the third round, the first quarterback off the board. He comes back around in the ninth round and takes the Seattle defense. You might say that that's a little bit too early to take a quarterback and a defense, but he gets the clear two best at that position off the board at the time, so it's hard to say that it's a big-time reach. Chris, CT, basically stole our pick with the 25th overall selection in the third round. He took Christian McCaffrey one pick before Todd and I had just said, you know what?
Well, Todd really and Alex, Mel.
Yeah, Todd and Alex, excuse me.
Come on, Mel.
Were going to say that they were going to take Christian McCaffrey. Todd and Alex end up taking Kareem Hunt with that next pick. Speaking of Todd and Alex, I guess they're Todd is the defending champion in this league. Jordy Nelson with the number 7 overall pick. Odell Beckham Jr. was in consideration, but I think they were a little bit scared off by the injury concerns. Jordan Howard, then Kareem Hunt. DeAndre Hopkins is a wild card for the TB show that I think is going to make or break this season as that wide receiver number 2, and you can't discount what Danny Woodhead does in a PPR
league. Okay, Mel.
Mel,
give me late round value. Give me your late round value pick from last night.
Ryan H. I mentioned he had the first overall pick in the draft. He also had the first pick of the last round. He took Evan Engram, the wide receiver slash tight end out of Ole Miss as a rookie. I think he slides right in there and plays right away. He's a pass catching tight end. He blocks almost 0% of the time, and I think he's going to be a very, very big tool for the New York Giants out of the slot. He's not going to play much tight end at all, and I think he could be a huge factor as a rookie. O.J. Howard as well. I know Tristan said that he didn't like him, but let's not discount what happened with the first pick of the last round. The last pick of the last round. It was Kirk. Who did he take, Todd? George Kittle. From the University of Iowa. So those are just a few of the highlights from last night and what was a very quick 16-round, 10-team PPR draft, and everybody had fun.
And Mel, who did Yahoo say had the worst draft?
That would be the Todd Brommelkamp show.
Thank you,
with
Mel.
Alex Kuhn.
Thank you, Mel. We'll blame
they
it
took
on
John Ross in the 13th round. Whose idea was that?
Well,
he's injured for the first 2 weeks.
I think it probably has more to do with Kareem Hunt going off the board as high as he did. But yeah, Tristan kind of took a couple of her picks out behind the woodshed there. Speaking of Kyle, he's here in the studio with us, so we'll send it over to him for a Midwest One Bank big board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Pro Football Focus published Week 1's Big Ten Defensive Team of the Week, and Hawkeyes Josie Jewell, Bo Bauer, Josh Jackson, and Jake Gervais were all selected to the unit, giving them a league-high 4 selections, one more than Ohio State's 3. Bauer, Jewell, and Jackson were also selected to the National Defensive Team. The Hawkeyes also had one selection to the offense, that being receiver Nick Easley. For the Cyclones, running back David Montgomery made the cut for the Big 12 offense, while cornerback Brian Peavy was selected on the defense. The Gazette's Area Super 10 volleyball rankings were released today, and 9-0 Cedar Rapids Jefferson sits at number 1 with Xavier 2nd, Linmar 3rd, Iowa City West 7th, and Mount Vernon 9th. The Iowa Speedway released its 2018 schedule today, and while remaining largely similar to the past year, many fans will be happy to hear that after a one-year hiatus, races will return to the track on Father's Day weekend on June 16th and 17th. Postseason play begins for the Colonels tonight. They're hosting the Kane County Cougars in Game 1 of the Best of 3 Western Division Series. Both teams led the division with 39 wins in the first half, but the Colonels fell to 3rd and Kane County to 6th in the second half. Cedar Rapids is throwing Tyler Wells out there for Game 1, taking on Mac Lemieux, and that game's getting started right about now. There's no Twins baseball for you after the show tonight, so keep it here for some ESPN programming.
I could not be more surprised if I woke up with my head stapled to the carpet. I think that's the line from Chevy Chase in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation to hear the Iowa Speedway referenced on a big board update. It is Wednesday, September 6th, and occasionally you've got to go mining for high school volleyball and Iowa Speedway ranking ahead of the Cedar Rapids Colonels playing a playoff game tonight on the big board update there. Mel Kuhn. What do you think? Mel Kuhn Jr. Do we have a little bit of work to do there? Mel Kuhn, do we have the intangibles on the big board update?
We got the intangibles. Still need a few reps, but hey, I think that all in all, we are going to deliver a Midwest One Bank big board update at 25 and 55 every hour with a high motor.
What? Give me three Mel Kuhn Mel Kuhnisms, because you do it quite well. Give me the three things you always hear him say.
You talk about a guy.
High motor.
Incredibly productive.
Well, Kyle has a high motor, and he is incredibly productive when it comes to lining up participants for the 6 o'clock showdown, which we're going to do next. We have tickets to Get the Lead Out next week at the Paramount Theater in Cedar Rapids. You can win them, but you have to do so on the 6 o'clock showdown tonight. 319-366-1600. We will take callers number 1 and 2 right now, 319-366-1600, 7 questions, 60 seconds. You answer more than the competitor lined up against you, you're off to the Paramount next week for the show. We'll meet our contestants when we return. It is 6:34. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM, and 1600 AM KGYM.
Selling your house in the past was kind of a pain. It had to be perfect, right? Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty is routinely selling homes that used to sit for months in just days. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more, warts and all. The Cedar Rapids housing market is white hot, and right now, Pinnacle can get your price even if your home isn't perfect. Pinnacle can sell your home right now. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Time is wasting. Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
This week, tune into the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo.
Sorry, Finny. The fans are craving so much Dr. Pepper, I thought I'd borrow some of your airtime.
Security!
Hey, look, whether you're watching college football or calling into some guy's radio show, Dr. Pepper makes college football that much sweeter. So grab some at your local store today.
Can I have one of yours?
Hey, we got a caller. You're on the Larry Culpepper Show with your host, Larry Culpepper.
That's it.
That's Dr. Pepper, the one fans crave.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Find Pennzoil at a Walmart near you and make the switch.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Battery, this is Alex.
Hi, Alex. I'm overdue for an oil change.
Yeah, right now we got the Valvoline 5 quarts of Sin Power Full Synthetic with the Purelator Boss Filter for $29.99.
Perfect.
And get a free Junior Motorsports hat by mail when you buy 5 quarts of any Valvoline oil.
Sweet, thanks.
Now at Advance Auto Parts, 5 quarts of Valvoline Sin Power Full Synthetic and a filter are just $29.99. Also at participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores. See store for details.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
It's coming!
Like all of history's great battles and that one episode of Seinfeld.
I'm out.
There can only be one winner.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
Let's meet this week's showdown contestants.
Well, it was contestants, and then we had somebody hang up on us. So Ryan and Walford, hang tight. We need somebody else to participate in the 6 o'clock showdown tonight. 366-1600 on the line tonight. A very nice prize. Couple tickets to Get the Lead Out. This is, I want to make sure I get the date right on this. Is this next Thursday night?
Yes, it is. The 14th
at the Paramount Theater in downtown Cedar Rapids, which is such a cool building. It really is. I've seen a number of concerts there. The American Led Zeppelin, that's how they're billing themselves. Three guitars on stage, about, I think, a $40 ticket a piece. So a nice $80 value here on the line tonight. And it looks like we have filled our gap. I don't think it was the original caller, but we've got Craig in North Liberty who will be playing with Alex tonight. Gentlemen, it's the 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds. The most important thing to remember here is if you do not know an answer, say pass, and we'll move on to the next question. Whoever answers the most correct in 60 seconds will wind up winning. And Alex, since I'm the one who screwed up our fantasy football team last night with some really bad draft picks, according to Mel Kuhn Jr., I'm going to let you and Craig go first tonight.
All right, Craig, do you have any questions before we begin?
Nope, I've heard it before.
All right, your 60 seconds begins now. Which Big Ten team is scheduled to play its home opener Friday night?
Pass.
Former Iowa State player Scott Helverson is now a full-time NFL official. What position did he play at Iowa?
Linebacker.
This NBA legend is scheduled to be an honorary captain this weekend for North Carolina.
Michael Jordan.
Which Midwest League team is not in action tonight? Cedar Rapids, Quad Cities, Peoria, or Beloit?
Beloit.
The Tampa Bay-Miami game is reportedly being moved to what week of the NFL season?
I think it's October 11th. I don't even know what week that is.
The St. Louis Cardinals acquired reliever Juan Nicasio today from this NL team.
Oh, gosh. Pass.
What is Todd Bandauer's claim to fame in the Cy-Hawk football series?
Most interceptions.
I wasn't keeping track. Did he get...
That was two.
Two or three. He got two. Okay. Well, Craig, I've seen two win before, so hang tight. We'll bring Ryan and Walford on. I know Ryan knows how this operates. So, Ryan, whenever you're ready, your 60 seconds will start.
I'm ready.
All right. It was announced earlier this week that this top five preseason college football team lost their starting quarterback to a season-ending injury.
Florida State.
Which Seattle Seahawks player was allegedly detained at gunpoint by Las Vegas police after the Mayweather-McGregor fight?
Michael Bennett.
What American League team has won 13 games in a row?
American League. Pass.
Which former Baltimore Ravens great said Colin Kaepernick would have been signed by the team if not for a tweet by his girlfriend?
Ray Lewis.
How many FCS teams beat FBS opponents in week one of the college football season? 3, 4, or 5?
3.
Within a range of 2, between the AP and the coaches poll, how many week 2 top 25 votes did the Iowa football team receive?
8.
Which Iowa player was named Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week for his performance against Wyoming last Saturday?
Josie Jewell.
That is a 4-2 win for Ryan in Walford. Craig, we appreciate you listening. Thanks a lot, Ryan. You know the drill. Congratulations. We'll put you on hold. Kyle will get your information. And again, if you want to get the lead out next Thursday at the Paramount Theater, I am pretty sure that our station across the hall, Rob FM, is involved with that show, and looking forward to it. As always, if you haven't checked out Rob FM, by the way, please do so in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. Tickets available right now at the Paramount Theater box office, or you can get them online through the Paramount's website. But it should be a fantastic show. They were here about a year ago. Highly entertaining. Get the lead out. It's not just a Led Zeppelin tribute band. They are more than that. 319-366-1600, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Let's go ahead and get to the questions that did not get answered correctly.
So which Big Ten team is scheduled to play its home opener Friday night? That would be the Purdue Boilermakers.
They play Frank Solich's Ohio Bobcats.
Former Iowa player Scott Helverson, he's now a full-time NFL official. He played wide receiver in his time at Iowa. He got the next two correct. The Tampa Bay-Miami game is reportedly being moved to Week 11 of the NFL season. The St. Louis Cardinals acquired Juan Nicasio from the Philadelphia Phillies. And Todd Bandauer's claim to fame in the Cy-Hawk football series, he was the quarterback for Iowa State in 1998 when the Cyclone snapped Iowa's 15-game winning streak.
And the Cleveland Indians have won 13 games in a row right now. I will remind you, until I'm blue in the face or they're eliminated, they are my pick to win the World Series. They were all the way back in April. Just please don't ask me who I had the Indians beating in the World Series,
I won't tell
you. How many FCS teams beat FBS opponents in Week 1? It was a multiple choice. The answer was 5, most notably Howard, as a 45-point underdog beating UNLV. And within a range of 2, between the Associated Press and the coaches' poll, how many Week 2 top 25 votes did the Iowa football team receive? 8 was just shy of falling within the range of 9 to 13. Iowa got 11 combined votes.
I think that was up 4 from last week. So they're moving in the right direction as far as the vote. It's just weird to see the discrepancy between the coaches and the AP poll, when not necessarily with the teams in the top 25, but the teams that the others receiving votes, not that it really matters at this point in the year.
This is really something tremendous here. I've been watching this all day long, but Hurricane Irma, which is barreling down on a landfall, it's heading toward the Dominican Republic right now. And the island of St. Martin and a couple of the other Caribbean
Barbados
islands.
Barbados as well, I believe.
Just absolutely hammered. This is possibly one of the strongest hurricanes in history. I don't know how strong it will be if it makes and when it makes. I think it will definitely make landfall somewhere in the United States at this point. But as we've seen, Hurricane Harvey hit Texas and Louisiana. Irma is headed straight for Miami and Florida, and this is absolutely. And then there's Jose, which is out at sea right now, which is also building absolutely tremendous. And so we ask that you keep everybody in your thoughts. And if the most trivial thing that happens here is a Week 1 football game being moved to Week 11 between the Dolphins and the Buccaneers, then more power to everybody out there. But please don't make that your major concern if you're playing fantasy football and you're upset about, you know, well, I've got Mike Evans and I'm not going to have him in Week 1. Think of everything that all of the other people. My heart breaks thinking about the destruction and the devastation that will be going on in the Dominican Republic, because that country is not built for something like this. The magnitude of this storm out there and some of the damage, like I said, that I've seen so far is fantastic, and not fantastic in a good way, but fantastic in sort of a biblical sense. So keep the Dominican in your thoughts and prayers tonight, and also everybody in Florida. I know a lot of folks out there have friends and family who live in the Sunshine State as well. It's not looking like it's going to be pretty. 6:47, we are overdue for a break. We'll step aside. Again, congratulations to Ryan, our winner tonight in the 6 o'clock showdown. When we come back, we will revisit the Emil's Hideaway poll question for a final time tonight. Do Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes put enough emphasis on the Iowa-Iowa State game? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. We'll get the results of the poll when we return after this.
Dad, we talk a lot about sports.
Yes, we do.
And food.
Yep.
And sometimes even health.
That is true.
In a recent survey, the Cleveland Clinic found that today's fathers and sons are talking more about their health than previous generations, but there's still a conversation gap around below-the-belt issues.
Cleveland Clinic wants to remind all men to mention it to their doctor.
Doctors have heard it all before, especially Cleveland Clinic. They're ranked number one in urology in the nation.
And they've got answers to 10 questions most men are afraid to ask at clevelandclinic.org/mention it.
AutoZone presents Peak Performance. Maximizing fuel economy, engine life, and overall performance doesn't take a lot, thanks to fuel treatment and fluids from AutoZone. Right now, you can save $4 on 16 ounces of Seafoam motor treatment for only $7.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
First time skydiving?
Sure is.
Okay, you just open the door like this and you jump.
Yeah, wait. Should we be like in tandem?
Tandem? That's a great idea.
Are you a certified instructor?
No, but I love parachutes and I love people. Here we go.
You wouldn't take chances with an uncertified skydiving instructor. Don't do it with your finances. Find a certified financial planner professional today at letsmakeaplan.org. CFP. Work with the highest standard.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Why do I buy my food grown and raised locally? The same reason I invest with DuPaco. Both reinvest in the community by recycling local money. DuPaco's sustainable money methods are healthier for me, my kids, and my neighborhood. When you pledge your support to a local farm, you reap your share of the harvest. When you invest in ownership at a cooperative with local roots like DuPaco, their investment team puts your money to work locally, providing friends and neighbors low-cost loans, small business funding, and more. As the community prospers, your nest egg grows. Whether you're seeding your first investment or needing a free review of your current portfolio, there's no outside group of faraway stockholders deciding what's best for you. Want your money to yield more meaningful rewards? Plant it in your own backyard.
Enriching lives through sustainable money methods. Some call that smart money.
I call it bright green.
DuPaco Community Credit Union.
Save.
Borrow. Invest.
Ensure.
Trust.
Friday at 3, tune in to 106.3 FM and get ready for West Branch football action. This is David Schulte, and I'll be your host alongside Gary Fickle for the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard.
Plenty of high school football on tap for you this week. Check out KGYMradio.com for the full schedule. The Todd Brownlecamp Show taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann tomorrow night. This time about now, we're going to be talking about the first game of the NFL season. New England and Kansas City getting things underway. We'll have it for you right here, courtesy of Westwood One. Check out KGYMradio.com for the full schedule of other events, including tomorrow night's high school football game brought to you by First Federal Credit Union. Dubuque Hempstead will be at Kingston Stadium taking on the Cedar Rapids Kennedy Cougars. That is a 7 o'clock kickoff. That will be on our AM frequency only because the FMs will be occupied with the NFL kickoff. FM frequencies 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. KGYMradio.com. Listen anytime online as we stream 24/7. Do Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes put enough emphasis on the Cy-Hawk game? Yes or no? No. Winning the poll as we take a look at the final results today at KGYMradio.com. And one more big thank you to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. We're going to be talking a little bit more about this and the perception of the series, hopefully tomorrow, with Scott Docterman from the Land of Ten. Woodja is on the horizon as well. And as we mentioned, got an NFL game to look forward to tomorrow with the Patriots, who I think Mike Gillisley is going to be the guy in the backfield. It could be Rex Burkhead. Kind of looking forward to this. I don't know whether we'll see Cole Crosston tomorrow night or not, but the former Hawkeye who joined Iowa as a walk-on, landing a spot on the 53-man roster for the Patriots. Greg Maben got a spot with the Buffalo Bills. We talked a little bit about that earlier in the week and certainly on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium, cut-down day. I don't know. You're the one who's watching Hard Knocks. Did you see the conversation that the Buccaneers personnel had about cut day and the reference to Skip Bayless? Or am I spoiling something that's on your DVR?
You are spoiling something that's on my DVR, but it's okay because I now look for... It's just a little teaser.
Okay.
I want to go home and watch it now. I haven't seen the last two episodes, so I'm excited to go back on the DVR and check them out.
Okay, well, I saw it. And I listened to it, and I thought, man, there's getting roasted, and then there's getting roasted. And I don't know whether Skip Bayless was probably expecting that to happen on Hard Knocks, and I don't know whether he's commented on it or not, but one of the guys in the front office of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers basically said about Skip Bayless what I think almost anybody who has seen him on ESPN or now Fox thinks of him. And I don't... If you've got it on the DVR, I don't want to ruin it for you.
No, you can say it. Go ahead.
He said that he, basically to paraphrase, he hates cut-down day and would rather drive cross-country in a beat-up car with no air conditioning with Skip Bayless riding shotgun than have to go through cut-down day and to basically tell guys they need to turn in their playbooks and that they weren't being kept.
This would be Dirt Cutter.
No, it was one of the personnel guys. One of the personnel guys just is like, man, I hate this day. This day sucks. I'd much rather drive cross country in a beat up, broken down car with no air conditioning with Skip Bayless as a passenger than go through cut day.
Now, this year there's no first cut day. In the past, I think they go 20 something at a time. There's one cut day midway through camp. And then the final cut day, which would be last Saturday, I believe. Here's a good widget. Would you rather cut all of the players at one time, so 50 of them in one day, or 25 and 25? Oh, that's tomorrow, though.
It's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
I think I would rather probably do it all at once because
I tend to agree.
The hope that you would inspire in guys that who made the first cut, they survived the first cut. Only to then get whacked as they cut down to 53. I think I'd just rather have everybody there in camp and be like, okay, I need the following 53 guys to step to the left. And if you haven't stepped to the left, give me your playbook and get the hell out. 319-366-1600. That's basically what we're going to do here shortly. But before we do that, we've got to have Kyle bring us a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Colonels and Cougars underway from Veterans Memorial Stadium. We'll get a score here shortly.
Pro Football Focus published Week 1's Big Ten Defensive Team of the Week, and Hawkeyes Josie Jewell, Bo Bauer, Josh Jackson, and Jake Gervais were all selected to the unit, giving them a league-high 4 selections, one more than Ohio State's 3. Bauer, Jewell, and Jackson were all also selected to the National Defensive Team. The Hawkeyes also had one selection to the offense, that being receiver Nick Easley. For the Cyclones, running back David Montgomery made the cut for the Big 12 offense, while cornerback Brian Peavy was selected on the defense. Postseason play begins for the Colonels tonight. They're hosting the Kane County Cougars in Game 1 of the Best of 3 Western Divisional Series. Both teams led the division with 39 wins in the first half, but the Colonels fell to 3rd and Kane County to 6th in the second half. Cedar Rapids is throwing Tyler Wells out there against Mac Lemieux. That game got started just a bit ago. They were scoreless in the bottom of the first. The Gazette's Area Super 10 Volleyball Rankings were released today, and 9-0 Cedar Rapids Jefferson sits at number 1 with Xavier 2nd, Linmar 3rd, Iowa City West 7th, and Mount Vernon 9th. The Iowa Speedway released its 2018 schedule today, and while remaining largely similar to the past year, many fans will be happy to hear that after a one-year hiatus, races will return to the track on Father's Day weekend on June 16th and 17th. The Twins played the finale of a three-game series with the Rays this afternoon, winning that one 10-6. So with no baseball for you tonight, you can keep it here on KGYM after the show for ESPN programming.
Lewin Diaz with a two-run double that hopped off the right field fence. Colonels up 2-0, bottom of the first inning at Veterans Memorial Stadium. If you're heading out there, grab a sweatshirt, grab a blanket. It's going to be chilly tonight, but cheer on the Colonels. It could be the final home game of the year, although if they win, chances are they're going to win one of the next two in Geneva the next couple days, and then it would be Peoria or Quad Cities on the horizon. So sounds like the Colonels are off a good start tonight. We'll see if they can keep it going. Coming up on the program tomorrow,
Brent Bloom. Brent Cyclone Fanatic.
Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com. I got to remember what we're doing back in football season here, so I'm looking forward to chatting with him. I know we're working on Scott Docterman from the land of 10.com as well, and as you mentioned, we sort of teased it tonight. Would ya on the way as well. KGYM, that'll do it for Wednesday programming. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Why do I buy my food grown and raised locally? The same reason I invest with DuPaco. Both reinvest in the community by recycling local money. DuPaco's sustainable money methods are healthier for me, my kids, and my neighborhood. When you pledge your support to a local farm, you reap your share of the harvest.